Well, thank you very much, David. We didn't coordinate. The first time I'd seen David's slides was now. And to be honest, half of those slides I could have put up there and presented. I remember the first year that I took over heading up Mobile VCE, I think every board meeting I attended, our industry guys at the board were thumping the table about quality of research. I think the resonance of objectives is what is key and one of the things that underlines this particular strategic partnership with EPSRC. As David says, it's been called different things over the years, but I think the value of the relationships that have been built up are very, very clear. So what I'd like to talk about, I put here industrial engagement is what VCE is all about, because it really is. And I guess what I want to talk to in this brief session is both to existing industrial members who are with us here today in this room, and also industrial companies who have heard about Mobile VCE, but maybe have not thought about getting engaged with us. As someone said earlier on, come and join us. You see, I was waiting too long. As David says, we've been around for a while. It was actually 96 when we were founded by the industry with government support and indeed with engagement from the academics right from the start. Our research, as you've heard, is defined and steered by our industry members. We are not for profit, intentionally, unlike some telecom companies. We are not for profit, funded by our industry members and by governments. And the financial multiplier for the research, as David said about strategic partners generally, it really, the underlying model of Mobile VCE really goes beyond that in terms of saying if we can bring together a whole bunch of companies, then we can achieve an even greater financial multiplier. So, for example, in 2009, an annual subscription is about £44,000, and we're undertaking something like £2.5 million worth of research. The important thing, one of the difficulties I have as chief executive of Mobile VCE is getting people to focus on the value rather than the cost. Because once your budget gets that small in terms of the subscription, it can tend to get delegated fairly low in the organisation. The important thing for industrial companies to focus on is the amount of research that is going on that they have royalty-free access to in terms of the outcomes of that research. The bottom chart in one of the brochures that I think you've been given today, you can have a version of that you can read, shows the evolution of the programme over the years. I think this is telling you that that we're overrunning in terms of the time. Stay. Right, okay. This actually shows how the programme has evolved over the years, some of the ways it has built upon some of the different things that have gone before, and the way that it's moving forward. The industry membership, as was mentioned earlier, is very much global. David mentioned about the parochial UK interest, and actually that's very true. I mean, I earlier on this week I was over at the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, and I was speaking on a panel at a lunchtime event there, and someone was observing the fact that there are something like 100 UK companies present in Barcelona, the second largest national representation from any country. And part of the reason for that has been the heritage that the UK has in telecommunications, the first to liberalise, very much at the hub and the heart of pulling together the GSM standard in the 80s and 90s. Very much for that reason, a destination for inward investment from companies around the world. And part of that heritage is why Mobile VCE happened back in the 90s. It was because those companies were here in the UK and wanted to build upon that base and move things forward as the industry moved forward and globalised, that we find ourselves today with that global membership that we have. Operators from around the world, manufacturers from around the world, and indeed participants from outside of what you might think of as the traditional telecommunications value chain. I mean, it's great to have Bob Shukai from Turner Broadcasting here today. The same category really as BBC in terms of people whose content today is being delivered already on the mobile device. And as the industry evolves and changes, these boundaries between traditionally disparate industries even are disappearing. These are actually taken from the original goals that Mobile VCE had when it was set up in 1996. At that time, I had a nice, safe, secure job in a company of 400,000 employees. And in the early days, when I moved from Siemens to take over the role in Mobile VCE, I used to say to companies who inquired about Mobile VCE that I hadn't left a nice, secure job in industry to become the chief executive of a centre for virtual excellence. I had come to become the chief executive of a virtual, i.e. geographically distributed, centre of real excellence. And at that time, it was still fairly young. I mean, I joined it at around 2000. It had been going about 3-4 years at that point in time. And it was before the first EPSRC review of the outcomes of the programmes. And I'm very pleased to say that since that time, we've had two in-depth reviews, independent, impartial assessments, which on both of those occasions have delivered verdicts of our research as being world-class. So it's not just NEC that think we're world-class, other people do as well. I think the system has actually changed recently in EPSRC, but the system was that you were scored out of 5 on 7 categories, so you could score a maximum of 35. And on I think it was the Core 2 program was the first that used that scale, and we scored 31 out of 35. Which was a pretty good score. On Core 3, I think the score was 33 out of 35. And the guys on Core 4, I think, are getting worried. I think we've actually now sort of changed the system, so maybe they don't have to compete in quite the same terms. But I think it shows the quality of the research that, when it undergoes a solid, impartial review, and bear in mind that the people who are brought on board to do this review, have to be fully independent. These were the targets to harness that research capability of a selective group of universities into a world-class centre of excellence, to influence the direction of that long-term research through that dialogue between industry and academia, to develop programmes with a focus on cross-disciplinarity and well-managed programmes and a flow of skilled experts, and to gain that international recognition. And in fact, in the early 2000s, all of those had been achieved. I would say certainly by 2002, 2003, all of those were well on the way to solid achievement. Within 6 months of me being in this role, I had quite independently 3 separate Mobile VCE University senior professors come up to me and say to me, being involved with Mobile VCE has changed the way that our department does research. We are now really understanding what research is needed by industry and what that means. One of Simon's colleagues within another part of NEC, a guy now responsible for strategic research, was one of the Core 1 researchers within Mobile VCE. That bit about the flow of skilled experts into industry. Many of our researchers have been recruited by the companies in this room and by members of Mobile VCE, and now working around the world within what has become very much a global industry. And those critical success factors that have made that happen, I think, are these 4. That strong and sustained industry leadership. Industry owns this organisation. It doesn't seek to control it. Because it has that majority on the board of directors, there is a real sense that they have a responsibility to continue to see it succeed and to continue to see it provide the value that they have already seen it providing to their organisations and to the industry. The second point, there is a very strong mutual respect between industry and academics. There is a recognition of what each is good at and a recognition of the value that each other puts into the partnership. And I think that has been key in terms of creating that commitment from the universities to deliver high quality research that is industry relevant. That research excellence I've talked about already. The key thing I think is as this industry has globalised, we have succeeded in ensuring that we have maintained that industry membership from Asia, America and Europe, and industry membership as well from across the value chain, or perhaps the right word these days is the value web. And that input that we have gained and commitment we have gained that feeds into our visions enables us very much to ensure that what we are addressing, that vision that Ed started talking about right from the start of the day, we kind of come full circle in terms of the day's discussions. I won't dwell on this page, we've covered this very much in the slides already. This is what I meant really about the leverage, the financial leverage. As you can see, with something like sort of 20 member subscriptions, which we then match with government funding, it is a very high financial gearing for our industry membership. But it very much is also about strengthening that UK research base, which is then available to the global industry. Known qualified research staff who appreciate industry needs. The research feeds through in terms of world-class research and patents, and all of our industry members have royalty-free access to use those patents and that knowledge in an explicit way, which means they do not have to come to me to ask for permission. They can exploit it without me, without their competitors knowing. It feeds and feeds in-house research, creates new products, services, revenue streams, that creates a virtuous circle. Three key sources of value for industry members. One is that issue of ensuring the future. You may have seen the quote from Ben Favayan right at the start of the as you came in. Something like, you know, a company that doesn't do innovation might as well go and shoot itself in the head. I like that quote. It's very blunt, but it's very to the point. Innovation is vital. It's vital in these times, and it's vital that companies continue innovation. Mobile VCE today has been proven as a source of innovation. It provides an early warning radar in terms of opportunities and threats, and very much strategic industry-defined research ahead of the curve, as David referred to, in fact, and that's there to see. Cost-sharing and partnership. Very much these days, as research budgets are finding themselves under pressure, Mobile VCE provides ways to get things done that otherwise would simply fall off the budget list. As well as that, though, the opportunities for new industry linkages and partnerships are also there. Issues of research capability, it's very hard to build and yet easy to lose. The low-cost ready access to industry-aware, high-calibre researchers, the opportunities to build strong and deep relationships with our university partners are very valuable. I won't dwell on the detail here. You can find a bit more detail on this, I think, in some of the handouts that you have, but really just a bit more detail on these three areas of ensuring the future, cost sharing and partnership. One thing to mention perhaps is the elective programmes where an individual industry member will come to me and say, we're interested in doing some work in this particular area. Do you think some of the other companies would be interested in doing that? And typically we might find that there are 3, 4, 5, 6 other companies who want to join and do that work that is funded outside of the normal industry membership. But again, it creates a focused way of creating an activity, a research, where we can pull the relevant experts who can deliver the work, timescales, sizes of all those programs, content of those elective programs, all determined by that group of companies who decide what they want to do, and we simply facilitate in terms of making that go forward. So it's more than simply a financial multiplier, although, as David said, the oil helps. Again, I think people and expertise I've said already. So my final slide, really, I think I want to say wake up, take action, in two categories. We've got a good number of our member companies here today who are already aware of these three research streams. One of these streams in particular is very much new in terms of it's something that we've not done before, this area of user interaction. Some aspects of it you could say actually we have done before. Some of the service side has been covered in some of our prior programmes. But we are building upon it and building in new directions, and indeed we have four new universities participating in that particular area. And within all of our companies there is a change in terms of reorganisations and so on. I certainly saw it when I was in Siemens. All of the companies here you will have gone through. I'd be surprised if there's a single company here who hasn't had a reorganisation in the last 2 years, probably within the last year, I should imagine. And that means that constantly within a company, the right people to get engaged are changing. And we need you to go back into your companies and to find the right people who should be getting plugged in to the three streams that you've had presented today. You know, some of the people here from the companies, you know, you have particular interests and you have particular activities in one of these streams, but there are other people in your companies who should be engaged in those other streams and should be feeding that through into the specific research groups, teams within your companies. So try and find out who those people are and help to get those engaged with these industry steering groups. I had a very good discussion with a guy from one of our member companies over in Barcelona just a couple of days ago who actually works in the same organisation, the same site as one of the guys here today, you know, who fits very well into one of the other areas but who had not yet been plugged in. So take those opportunities to get those people plugged in. Secondly, think about what may be falling off your R&D list at the moment and think about, do you want to initiate an elective? Thirdly, as David said, there are other support mechanisms that exist for research pull-through. He mentioned the follow-on funds. One of our universities is currently pulling together a bid into that follow-on funding, building on prior research and very much in an area where there is potential for exploitation. But there are other mechanisms too that we have good links into government with. Knowledge transfer partnerships is one of those areas. I was talking with someone who oversees that programme this morning. There are other mechanisms that exist. If there are specific areas from past research that you would like to see pulled through, talk to me and we can see what we can do. My final word for companies who are not yet engaged with Mobile VCE, who are not members. We do have mechanisms for engagement with SMEs, for smaller companies, at lower subscription rates. So again, do come and talk to me. That quote from Ben Favine really is key. In the current climate, people need ways to make sure that when upturns come, you've actually got something in the cupboard to pull off the shelf and turn into a product. You need to be in a position where you know the people that you need to recruit into the organisations when the budget permits. So consider joining us. Now is a good time at the start of a new core programme. So, you know, do get in touch with us, be very happy to meet and fill in the gaps that we've not had time to talk about today. Thank you.